Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here to conduct our lesson in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m.
You can also call your prayer request at that same number. Amen. So now, I'd like to say a prayer and then invite the Holy Spirit. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifests a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I would like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come glory, God is one. glory. God is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit. Jesus, when I am tempted to give up, please send people to give me confidence and courage to continue my walk with you. Amen, amen, and amen. So you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here to conduct our lesson and talk through the Bible. So if you would like to join us, please call in 319-527-6204. And you can call in your prayer requests at the same number. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory.
Of the universe, I am the one who spoke into nothing, and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand, and if you believe on my word, can stand. I am healer, mender of broken hearts, Alpha Omega, your destiny and where you start. I am the one who does impossible. Just let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am for you.
Stop it.
I am the one. A need and always provides. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand, and if you believe on my word, where you start,
I am the one
let me be who I am to you. And consider when God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed, but you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. Rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but. And say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs another God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
Amen. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled Obstacles. Praise God. Obstacles. And the scripture reading for that message is coming from Isaiah 42:16. And it says, I will make rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do. Amen. Praise be to God. Today, there may be some kind of obstacle standing between you and your heart's desire. You have prayed for so long, only to find this barrier to your progress. The temptation will be to grow angry and bitter over its presence. However, my challenge to you today is to thank God for it. The Lord would not have allowed it in your path if there was not some good purpose for it. Perhaps the obstacle is revealing something about the person or thing you have desired for so long. Some trait or complication that awakens you to problems or challenges. You did not previously realize were there. It could be that the hindrance has revealed some issue in your own heart that you must get right with God. Amen? Or it may be that through it, the Lord is teaching you more about him, his ways, and his plans for you. Whatever the case, you know you can trust your Savior with your life and with whatever it is that hinders your progress. Therefore, even if it hurts, give thanks for that obstacle today and ask God to reveal himself through its presence on your path. Amen. Amen. I pray that this devotional message, whoo, hallelujah, Jesus, was a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Jesus, I give thanks to you for this obstacle. Thank you for what you will reveal about me, the desires of my heart, and yourself through it. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Lord, I come. praising you, Father, for you come as the full appreciation of your glory. For as long as we live to magnify your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord with me, somebody. Forever we love you. Forever we live to worship you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus.
I live for you.
Jesus, help me to focus on you in times of trouble and train me for your purposes. Thank you for leading me to triumph. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God, praise God.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's realize it together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
he's in control.
He's in control and he knows
yep,
everything.
I have the victory
cause. I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
in him and I live, move, and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
No matter what. The problem may be,
he's in control.
He's in control and he knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for he is my king.
Him I live, I move,
him
and
him I live, I move, and have my king.
Say like the best of people.
Best of
come on, lift them up in here.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live, move, and have my being.
Say that again. No matter what.
No matter what the problem may
come
be.
Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live.
If you believe that, sing this with us. Let the people. Come on, lift him up.
Oh, lift him up. Rejoice.
And shout unto him.
And shout unto
him. The one you call him.
We have all us to triumph. And we know we will rule in the end.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift him up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, teach me how to pray for this nation and help me to be your light in a community that needs your guidance and salvation. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. And when you get to 1 Corinthians, go to chapter 11. Amen? And when you go to chapter 11, we're going to read verses 17 through 34. Amen? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. And it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Praise God. But you can read from any Bible that you feel free to, that makes you comfortable reading. Amen? Praise God. Let us begin. This is the order at the Lord's Supper, what these verses are speaking about. He said, but in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. Praise God. Sorry about that. Okay, again, I will read verse 17. But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, I believe it. But of course, there must be divisions among you so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. When you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What don't you have? Have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. For I passed on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drink this cup of the Lord unworthy is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. So that is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet, when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you are really hungry, eat at home so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. I'll give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive. To God be the glory for the reading of his mighty word. Amen. So, in these verses, when Paul said that no one should take the Lord's Supper unworthy, he was speaking to the church members who were participating in it without thinking of its meaning. To not honor the body of Christ means not understanding what the Lord's Supper means and not distinguishing it from a normal meal. Those who did so were guilty of sinning against the body and blood of Christ. Instead of honoring his sacrifice, they were sharing in the guilt of those who crucified Christ. In reality, no one is worthy to take the Lord's Supper. We are all sinners saved by grace. This is why we should prepare ourselves for communion through healthy introspection, confession of sin, and resolution of difference with others. These actions remove the barriers that affect our relationship with Christ and with others. Believers, awareness of your sin should not keep you away from communion, but drive you to participate in it. Amen. Praise be to God. There is a great need in every person's life for a close personal examination of self. This is true in one's social, academic, and business life, but especially in one's spiritual life. Amen? Praise God. My text for this message is coming from 1 Corinthians 11 and 28, where it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Amen? And my title for this message is Examining Self. First, examine the context of this passage. The historical background is that of a connection between a love feast and the Lord's Supper. The love feast should have been one of fellowship and sharing. However, it had been abused and wrong conduct had been manifested. wrong conduct has been manifested. It became a time of drunkenness and bad morals, a feast of gluttony and selfishness. The Lord's Supper was a time of expressing love and appreciation to the Lord. The two feasts were incompatible. Amen? The application for Paul's day has a message for today. Paul gave fair warning about the frame of mind we should have when in real worship, it is not a matter of our worthlessness that we sit at the Lord's table. Worthiness, excuse me. It is not a matter of our worthiness that we sit at the Lord's table. Second, examine the concept in everyday life. Self-examination is not always a pleasant thing when done honestly. Many times it is very painful. We often discover things about ourselves that we do not like. Self-examination can be a wholesome thing. It can be used to expose evil and undesirable habits, which can then be repented of. It can be an instrument of finding what is lacking in our lives and enabling us to make amends. Praise be to God. And third, consider some ways we can examine ourselves. Bible reading and prayer are measures to be used. We need to determine how sensitive our spirit is and how genuine our character is as it relates to Christ. We need to determine if we resist all wrong and dislike the unholy. Do we shrink from the deception of this world? And do we worship at the foot of the cross? Do we let the Spirit of Christ control our lives? A self-examination must be free from comparing one's life with that of another. It should be an honest, soul-searching, sincere testing. Amen? To God be the glory. And my conclusion is this. Right now, I am asking you to examine your life in relation to the Lord Jesus. Examine every facet of your life and find the things that need to be corrected. To God be the glory. I pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Praise be to God. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Amen. Father God, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you to the family of God. And all you have to do is to continue, is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church. Amen? And my benediction is this, coming from Jude 24:25, and it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. I pray that this message today was truly a blessing for you. So at this time, while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play a selection. Jesus, you are the center of my life. Amen.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. At the center of it all, sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the be the center, say, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
And as we are coming to a closing of this part of our program for this evening, I'm going to play I Learn to Trust in the Lord. Amen. God be the glory. Again, you're listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, you can call in 319-527-6204. Amen? Praise God. Jesus, I learned to trust in the Lord.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
Thank you.
to trust in the Lord. And now it is time for our lesson for today, which is entitled Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. And our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will come and conduct our lesson this evening. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, Lady Nadine. How are you this evening?
Oh, child, please. I'm so blessed. I thank God for you. I'm so grateful, God. I am. I mean, he is a way maker. He's Jehovah Rapper. He's a healer. He's everything. He's everything. And,
thank you. Thank you, God.
Yeah, we thank him for another opportunity to just get into his word, because Lord knows we could be anywhere else but right here.
Yes.
You know, my hospital bed, we could be anywhere. But God chose for us to be here today,
yes,
this time, to just learn more about his word, learn more about his word. So,
and Lord knows we need more learning.
I know. God bless. Is Sister Barbara here too today?
No.
Okay,
she probably had to go in today.
Yeah. Okay. So let us pray. Our Father, our God, Lord God, we just glorify your name, Lord.
Yes.
We glorify your name, Lord, because you are our all in all, Lord God. You are our everything. You are sovereign God, Lord God. You know everything, Lord God. You know it before we even know it, Lord God. Thank you for knowing our future, Lord God, and preparing us for things that are about to happen to happen in our lives, Lord God. The preparation that you give us, Lord God, when we look back, you know, we realize, you know, God prepared me for this very moment.
Yes.
So we thank you, Lord God, for that preparation, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, for always having our back, knowing what's ahead of us, and Lord God, preparing us for that one, for that thing.
Yes.
So we ask you, Lord God, to be in the midst of this teaching, learning period, Lord God, that we're about to go into, Lord God. Again, I thank you, Lord God, for being a healer, Lord God. I know you still got some more healing to do with Evangelist Hilda, Lord God, but we know that you're there,
Lord.
And the antibiotics are going to take away all the infection, Lord God, and
totally
where she
thank you, God.
Lord God. She is child. She's your warrior, Lord God. She is committed to you, Lord God, and I thank you and praise you for her, Lord God. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. God be the glory, and I receive those blessings. Thank you.
God. Anyway, so it's so interesting that we're doing the Book of John, because I've been teaching the Book of John. If you go to YouTube, Covenant Avenue Baptist Church, go to YouTube on July 3rd.
Yeah.
Reverend Price is teaching that class, the July 3rd class. So you can see it. You can see it on YouTube if you're interested in watching it.
It doesn't have a link?
I can send you the link. Yeah, I can.
Thank you.
I'll bring it up. And then I'll send you the link and
you
can have it on your phone.
I would just touch it and it'll go right to it.
Yes, I will absolutely do that for you. So are we up to Christ and John? Are we up to the contributions to the Bible?
Yes.
Contributions?
Yes.
Okay, good.
We did all of Christ and John last week.
That's right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the contributions to the Bible. John is the most selective, topical. Could you please? So John is the most selective, topical, and theological of the Gospels. Style and vocabulary somehow capture the most profound and theological concepts, making the book itself reminiscent of the teaching and techniques of Jesus. John uses simple linguistic constructions and avoids the complex sentence structure characteristics of the Pauline epistles. He is particular adept at parallelism, for example, light versus darkness, which is an important feature in the Hebrew poetry. Unlike the synoptics, which are, do you remember what the synoptics are?
Okay. Every time you catch me off guard with these words, I know it because you taught it, but I forgot it.
Okay, so the synoptics are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark, and Luke, not John, because those three gospels basically synoptic. The words when you see it means the same. So those three gospels basically talk about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The same parables, you know, although they talk about it uniquely in their own experience, but they basically, you know, you can find one thing and the other one, you can find the same parables in all three of them. And they call them the synoptic, and John is different from the three, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so it actually says, unlike the synoptics, John contains no parables, but you know all the synoptics have parables. He uses allegories instead. So, in other words, examples of his allegories are the Good Shepherd, that's chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, and also he does the True Vine, which is, did you get that, 15, 1 through 6?
15?
The True Vine, chapter 15, 1 through 6. Mm-hmm. And we should read the Good Shepherd, too.
Okay.
Good Shepherd. Let's do the
Good Shepherd first, which is 10.
Yeah.
10, mm-hmm. 1, 10, 8,
1 through 18.
12.
13. 14.
11. 12. 10. 1 through 18. This is Jesus speaking. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeepers opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and comes to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him, because they do not know his voice. Now, those who heard Jesus use this illustration did not understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pasture. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scattered the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Barbara. Yay. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you all too.
God bless you. Yes.
We're in the book of John.
Oh, sorry. I'll give up 15.
John 15, 1 through 6.
No, don't read it, Helga. I'm going to give it to Sister Barbara.
Oh, okay.
What we're doing right now, Sister Barbara, is we're reading about some of the allegories that John uses. You know, what we just read was that unlike the synoptics, John contains no parables. So we just read the Good Shepherd, and can you please read the True Vine, which is John 15, verses 1 through 6.
Okay. John 15, 1 through 6. Amen. This is the Message Bible. Okay. The vine and the branches. I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine. You are the branches. When you join with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. Amen. That went through 8, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So we see that, just to go over the difference between a parable and an allegory, allegories are stories that have a hidden meaning, which we just read. You can see how he's talking about the vine. I am the true vine. So it's saying that John uses more allegories. The other, the synoptics use parables. And it says that a parable is also a story, but it has usually a moral or spiritual lesson to a parable. And but they say both are similar, but allegories is usually a story with a hidden message. And we read about the Good Shepherd, you know, how he used, you know, the person who's in charge of the sheep, you know, and the sheep follows him. So Jesus, John used that to explain the Good Shepherd, and we see what the true vine is, how he talks about the true vine. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so although John is more fragmentary, selective in his material, the structure of his narrative and discourse is tighter and more coherent than the other Gospels. And they put one scripture here about the fragmentary and selective. It says in 21:25, it says, "Now there are also many other things that Jesus did, which, if they were written down one after the other, I suppose not even the world itself could contain the books that would be written." So he's selective, because he's telling us here that there's no way that he could have possibly written down everything that Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
The structure of his narrative, and like I said, his discourse is tighter and more coherent than any other gospel. The discourse or discussions in John are logical units that develop unified themes, and the frequent sprinkling of questions and objections help to develop these themes. These discourses are interwoven with the narrative section, and John uses them to explain the spiritual significance and signs. In this way, the narrative of this gospel becomes symbolic. Of the eight miracles in chapters, because there's eight miracles in chapters 1 through 12 and chapter 21, only the feeding of the multitude and the walking on water are found in the synoptics. And what did we say the synoptics were, Hilda?
The three Gospels of John.
Not of John. Just the three Gospels. Name them.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
No, just the three. The three Gospels that are, the synoptics are made up of which three Gospels?
Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, I had it wrong. I have written it on the next page before. So it's the three
what
Gospels.
What makes them synoptics?
Matthew's, Mark.
Or why are they called synoptic?
Oh, because they were, I'm not thinking today. I forgot. I'm sorry.
Okay. Sister Barbara, do you know why they're called synoptics?
Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic in that they're telling the same story.
Yeah.
Maybe in different ways. And I looked at it when we looked at Matthew and you showed us Luke, how they talked about the lineage of Jesus, whereas Matthew did it from before, from his ancestry down to him, and Luke did it from him back to his predecessors. So So that was quite interesting. But it's all saying basically the same thing in their own observation, the synoptic process.
Thank you. So that's it. So, Hilda?
I'm writing it down.
We're just gonna go.
I'll be prepared next time.
Okay, so again, one of the unique features of John Stossel is the highly theological prologue. It gives a matchless portrayal of the incarnation of the truth, life, and glory of the eternal God. John shows the relevance of the living word to all men. And so, Hilda, take 3:16. Sister Barbara, take 10:16. And Pastor, are you on? Hello?
He's on.
Okay, you can take 12 and 32. Pastor.
I don't know if you guys are. I don't know where you are.
We're on the book of John, and we're at the end of the contributions to the Bible.
Okay, 3.
And we're proving how John shows the relevance of the living word to all men. So 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall live and not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen.
Mine starts at, well, it ends at 10. It starts at 6. Jesus told a simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. So he tried again. I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good, sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. Mm-hmm. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Amen.
Amen.
Right. So it also says, somebody just read that in the New Living Translation and tell me what you think this verse is saying. 16.
Well, you said 16. I read the wrong one.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't hear 10 to 16. Go ahead, Sister Barbara.
Yeah, I read, it starts at 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me. In the same way the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. You need to know that I have other sheep in addition to those in this pen. Mm-hmm. I need to gather and bring them too. They'll also recognize my voice. Then it will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I freely lay down my life.
That was 16,
May 1.
So what did he mean, I have other sheep too? What was Jesus talking about? Who's the other sheep, too?
Those who are non-Jewish.
Right. That's us.
That's us.
We the other sheep, too. I have other sheep, too, that are not in the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one step. So we don't love the sheep too, he says. And then, Pastor, do you have 12 and 32?
Mm-hmm.
John 12 and 32?
You said 12. You talk about, where is that?
John. It's at the end of the contributions to the Bible, the last sentence.
One of the unique features of John's gospel is highly theological prologue. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself.
Right. So all those three scriptures, John shows the relevance of the living word to all men. That's what we see in those verses. So, the survey of John, this most unusual gospel with its distinct content and style serves as a supplement to the three synoptics. What is synoptics? Helga?
The three gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I ain't going to never forget that.
And what makes them synoptic?
Because they tell the same story.
Yay!
I told you I'm not going to forget it. I'm going to write it right in the They won't
Yay.
Catch it.
Praise God. So, it is easily and the simplest and yet the most profound of the Gospels. And for many people, it is the greatest and most powerful. John writes his Gospel for the specific purpose of bringing people to spiritual life through belief in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The five basic sections of this Gospel are: one is the incarnation of the Son of God, and we're going to read that. Sister Barbara, take the incarnation, hold on to that. That's verse 1 through 18.
Okay.
And then 2, the presentation of the Son of God, and that's from... That's a long one. We probably will split this in half. Oh, no, that's a lot. Let me tell you something. Chapter 1, verses 19 through 454 is a homework assignment.
Through 454, oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Chapter 1, verses 19 through 454 is a homework assignment.
Well, you know what? Oh, okay.
What?
So everybody got the incarnation. All right.
Let's see. The opposition to the Son of God. Well, that's, so you know what? This is like the entire, we should just take the time and just read the book of John.
Well, that, like, if you read 1 through 18, and, you know, that's pretty much a straight read. That's pretty much a straight read. So, like, you could read 1 through 18, like, when you do the incarnation, read 1 through 18.
So we're going to do 1 through 18
now.
The rest of the
book.
Yeah, the rest of the book will just be on. But it's broken down into five sections.
I know, but I'm saying that we could read each section of the Bible. Like, read it.
Well, now?
When you do the incarnation of the Son of God, you can read 1 through 18. Before you read, you know, the prologue introduces the rest of the book. You know, you read it. for each part, you read the, you know. So we know that by the time we get to 19:4 through 54, we'll have the homework already done in advance, because we know that's going to be like retracted. But this is only one, so that you can read in class. Feel me?
Right. Not really.
Like,
but
like after you finish, you'll see when you get to it. We could just read it and then, you know, each section.
No, I'm going to read each section. I am going to read each section. But so the first section is the incarnation of the Son of God. If we're going to read verses, Sister Barbara, you have chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And before you read it, I want to say this prologue introduces the rest of the book and gives the background for the historical narrative that follows. It dates the nature of Jesus and introduces his forerunner, clarifies his mission, and notes the rejection and acceptance he will find during his ministry. So it's kind of like it's your prologue. It's going to basically sum up everything else that's going to happen. So Sister Barbara, can you do that, please?
Yes, John.
Can I ask one question?
Yes.
What does prologue mean?
Why don't you look it up for us and tell us what prologue
means? Is a separate introductory section considered with music work.
What is it?
It's a separate introductory section of a literary work. It can be also an introductory section of a music work. An event or action that leads to another event or situation.
Right.
You know, so the prologue is making reference.
So it's the introduction
of the book. So we want to see what is the prologue and how does it introduce the rest of the book.
And we will see that now when we read it.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
John, this is Barbara. Chapter 1, starting at verse 1 through verse 18. From the Message Bible, and it reads, the topic is the life light, L-I-G-H-T, the life light. The Word was first, the Word present to God, God present to the Word. The Word was God, in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. There once was a man, his name John, sent by God to point out the way to the life light. He came to show everyone where to look, who to believe in. John was not himself the light. He was there to show the way to the light. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world. The world was there through him. And yet, the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God's selves. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous
inside and out, true from start to finish. John pointed him out and called, "This is the one I told you was coming after me, but in fact was ahead of me. He has always been ahead of me, has always had the first word. You all live off this generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses, and then this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding, all this came through Jesus, the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, not so much as a glimpse. This one-of-a-kind God expression who exists at the very heart of the Father has made him plain as day." The word of the Lord is already blessed.
Amen. Could you read verses 1 through 3 as opposed to kind of live and live?
Hello?
Verses 1 through 3.
Hello?
Can I
read it in the New American Standard?
Mm-hmm. Of course, but I just want to hear how the best.
I'm going to do that,
but I just want to hear again how the message reads for verses 1 through 3.
Okay,
so that
1 through 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Word was first. The Word present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Up to three, right?
Yeah, up to three. Yeah.
That's the end of three.
All right. So you want to say something about that?
No, I like it better in the other translation, that first beginning. I like that the first.
New American Standard is the closest standard to the original Greek text. So sometimes I like to hear it from the original Greek text, how it was worded.
Okay.
Closest.
Go ahead, read it.
Okay. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp. A man came, one sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all men might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. This was the true light that's coming into the world. Enlightens every person. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not accept him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, but not of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and called out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, He who is coming after me has proved to be my superior. Because
all right.
He existed before me.
Mm-hmm.
For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. God, the only Son, who is in the arms of the Father, he has explained him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Beautiful translation. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the next area that we're going to look at is presentation. The presentation.
Before you do that, can I ask the question, please?
Sure.
How does it relate to the topic? Like,
how does it relate to what?
How does it, what part of it relates to? It says this prologue introduces the rest of the book. So how does it introduce the rest of the book?
Well, from what I just
and give
read.
The background for it, for the historical narrative that follows.
Right, I read that. It introduces, it tells you what the nature of Jesus, and what do we learn about Jesus? Who is Jesus?
Son of the living God.
But who is Jesus?
The triune, the second being of the triune, the Trinity.
Right.
Father,
right.
Son,
so,
and Holy Spirit.
But, so that makes Jesus who?
God.
God.
God, right. That makes Jesus God. So first we learn about the nature of Jesus. And then it says we're introduced to his forerunner. Who was his forerunner?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
Right. It clarifies his mission. What is Jesus' mission?
He came to save.
Right. And the notes, and it notes his rejection and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
So who rejected him?
His own.
His own, right. And there was those who did accept him. And he will find accepted, his acceptance he will find during his ministry. So we know that everything else that happens in this book is going to talk about notes, the rejections and the acceptance that he will find during his ministry. And we know his rejectors was also what, the Pharisees, you know, we know
that,
you know. Right.
Also,
and
one other question. What is the prologue? That's the thing, like, we need to define what the prologue is.
I thought you did. I asked you to look it up.
Well, we haven't really defined it. The incarnation of the Son of God, the incarnation is the prologue. Because the incarnation is most important when we are evangelizing. And that's what the sermon was saying, like, last week or the week before last, about how when we bring to someone who doesn't know the Word of God, we have to first explain the incarnation of the Son of God.
So
because,
prologue,
you know,
is the introduction.
So the prologue is the incarnation, the fact that and the flesh and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Like, that's the beginning of the prologue. Is the incarnation. So it's the whole concept of Jesus being God.
Yeah.
So it's the incarnation of the Son of God. The incarnation is a separate issue, because when you look up the word incarnation, it means a person who embodies in the flesh a deity or spirit, okay? So in Christianity, the embodiment of God, the Son, in human flesh as Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So the incarnation in Christianic theology is the embodiment of God, the Son.
I don't know if you guys heard this, but there's a statement that says about this incarnation, and I think it was really great. I'm trying to find it, but it's something like Jesus stepped out of heaven to wrap himself in flesh, to die for our sins, so that we can have life eternally. I thought that was just so profound. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So the question here is that we're seeing Christ as a distinct entity, yet we see him as God in terms of as a whole, God being Father, Christ, Son. You know, we see him as God. So that's where the incarnation is important for us to be able to explain that.
Yeah. Okay.
How would you explain it?
I just did. I think I just explained. Are you asking me or are you just asking a general question?
Yeah, I mean, anybody could, you know. We should
how
know how
we,
to.
How do you how to explain the incarnation of Jesus Christ? Is that the question?
Well, I think, I mean, what do you think? I mean, I don't want to go on a tangent, but, you know, I want to get back to the lesson. So, I mean, I think we've pretty much tackled it. You know, the question was, what is the prologue?
So the prologue was the incarnation of the Son of God. And it introduced us to the rest of the book and gives the background.
Right, but I mean,
when we said
that, do everybody understand what that is? So when we say the incarnation of the Son of God, it's the story of Christ's deity, basically, right? Would you say that? True?
Yeah,
well, if I
can
add to that.
Uh-huh.
All right, anyway.
I just wanted to say that the Word of God, God is a spirit. And so when the Word was spoken, he did it through his Son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth in flesh. So the Word became flesh and blood, which is his Son, Jesus Christ. Again, the second entity of the triune or of the Trinity. So that prologue is just explaining how the Word was one thing. God spoke it into existence so that his Son, still in heaven, could materialize, make the manifestation of things that were not seen to be seen, cause them to be seen. And then that wasn't enough because man, with his evil self, kept on sinning. So God mm-hmm. had to send someone else down to earth. He sent himself in the form of his Son. Mm-hmm. Allow his Son to take on flesh and blood through a virgin Mary, through a virgin young lady. And so that is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. When the Word became flesh and lived among men and died for us, laid down his life for us. As he said, nobody takes my life. You can't take my life. I lay it down. I give myself away. Amen. So that's the incarnation explained. That's the prologue where there was only spirit made flesh, lived among us, was crucified, spat upon, rejected, not wanted, went to the cross, and 3 days later rose again.
Amen.
That's the whole prologue.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you.
I mean, yeah. All right.
That's it. That is it.
But my question is, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So the question is, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, meaning God spoke out himself, and the Word was God. So Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit are one. Even though it's a Trinity, they're three separate entities, three separate, you know, entities of the same Godhead. It's like saying water, ice, and steam are all H2O. That's how I kind of understand it sometimes. But it's right there is where I'm a little confused at times. You know, because it's weird. Because sometimes we say it and people become agnostic and see it as Christ separate and God separate. And so that's, you know, so we have to be careful in that area. All right.
Okay.
You
want to carry on? Yeah, it's 8 o'clock, so I'm not going to go on to the presentation of the sun.
So that we're going to do for homework, right?
Yeah, 1 through 4, 54.
Yeah, then we can go through it because we would have went through it.
Yeah, we would have read it already. Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Pastor, you want to pray us out?
All right. I've been hearing so many good things about Erica, about our lessons that, you know, everybody's been giving such good reports about all the classes that we give. And I just decided, you know, I better make sure I don't miss some of them myself. So, you know, I'm trying to make the classes. You know, because I don't want everybody to outgrow me. I'm a pastor. You ask me questions, I don't know. Sometimes you need a refresher. So it's always good. You're never too old to learn, and we always have to remain. So it was a joy to spend this time with you in the Word of God.
Thank you.
And I look forward to it next week.
Amen.
So let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in God's sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Lady Nadine, thank you for putting up my picture.
Oh,
it looks so beautiful there.
Yay.
I just wanted to thank you for that.
Amen. You're welcome. I guess somebody, I think we needed some dates, but I'll send an email out. I know Deaconess called me and said, yo, we needed some dates. And I have the dates for our potluck. Is that what she needed? Yeah.
No, I think she was talking about the silent supper, but before that, we were supposed to meet to discuss it, and it was said the 10th, and then we said, no, let's do it earlier than the 10th, so you never got back to us.
Okay. Well, it looks like today is the 6th, so. We said the 16th for the silent.
Acts 19, 10 through 41.
What?
For next week.
What was that?
Oh, you mean for the sermon?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, guys. I'll send out I'll text everybody.
Okay.
With a meeting date, please.
Amen.
Probably.
chapter 10.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night,
okay,
everybody. Love you guys.
Next season. Love you all. Shalom.
See you guys too.
Shalom.
Sunday.
Thanks, Pastor. God willing.
Thank you, Pastor, for showing up in the spirit.
All right.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys.
Shalom. Love you too.
We are out.